I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
We set off in hope of making it five league wins in a row, but Charlton was sunk by a late goal beside the seaside. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good afternoon and welcome to a slightly earlier than usual edition of Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we get ready to look back at yesterday's 2-1 defeat, unfortunately, up at Blackpool, is Mr. Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nathan?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad. Living the dream as always.
Yeah. We have to look back at a defeat for the first time in a while if we're not counting the FA Cup, which we don't around these parts. So we will be looking back at yesterday's late loss up at Blackpool. We're going to hear the highlights in a few moments' time. We're also going to hear the full interview post-match from the Charlton manager, Lee Bowyer. Tom and Lewis from our Charlton Live show went up there yesterday and actually recorded a diary for us. So we're going to hear how they got on during the game, their views of the performance. And also we want to hear from you guys as well. Of course, you can let us know what you made of yesterday's defeat, which players stood out, which players did not. Perhaps anything you want to say, let us know. studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can have your say on the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for this evening's show, or this afternoon show as well. We're doing the show slightly earlier today. We've got the playoff final anniversary dinner upstairs here straight away after the show, so that's why we're doing it earlier, so we can go and attend that. So Nathan, you heard the defeat, and I mean, first half, we actually had the first chance of the game, but then we were pretty poor in that first half, just couldn't seem to keep hold of the ball and make any headway up at the other end of the pitch until maybe the very closing stages of it. Second half, we came out, we looked a lot better, we got our goal. If it looked like, if there was going to be a team to nick it, it would be us, because we were putting them under a lot of pressure in that second half. But then we just get dealt with a sucker punch, really. I mean, it's payback for the Burton Albion defeat win a couple of weeks ago, but it's such a shame, really, because I think that first half overall has probably cost us.
Yeah, and I think Bo's alluded to it in his interview that, you know, it wasn't good enough. We started going a bit more direct for whatever reason. And I think obviously Terry said in the in the interview after the game. Did he think it was because of the weather, or Bowes couldn't really put his finger on it. So he obviously got the lad to settle down a little bit. But yeah, like you say, I think that first half performance is, because you're chasing a game then, being 1-0 down away from home, so it makes it obviously a lot more trickier.
Certainly. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights. First of all, you'll notice Blackpool's first goal ever so slightly got cut off, so we just sort of catch the end of it. But this is how it went down over on Valley Pass yesterday with Greg Stubley and with Terry Smith.
Going on a little bit of a run, looking for an angle, finds Taylor. Lovely Taylor, quick. Lovely dummy into Grant. Grant turns, thought about the shot, finds Taylor again, edge of the penalty area. Now takes the shot, turned away to his left-hand side by Howard. And Charlton have a corner. A lovely attacking move by the Attic step over. Goes past him. Stevenson can't block the cross in. Nangelo's there, goes to the far stick, back over. And it's an important interception by Bielik.
For Taylor, it's a lovely switch across to the right side. And they sort of had a couple of extra players on the right-hand side, Blackpool. And Feeney was able to get the ball into the box, and Steer couldn't get it far out enough, and it came nicely to Nangelo as an open goal in the end. But I talked about the creativity from out wide and how Charlton haven't defended that well. And I think the last 5 minutes or so, it's all been Blackpool. And Charlton need to react. Doddu, it's a lovely layoff towards Thompson inside, back to Doddu again. And dummies, and Doddu with a shot and a great save from Steer, diving to his right. Joe Doddu trying to score against his former side onto his left foot, and it's a cracking save from the Charlton keeper. Taylor up to the right to Solly. Now Lapsley. Lapsley to Taylor on the edge of the box. Taylor forward towards Lapsley in the penalty. Lapsley, he beats his man. Can he get the ball across? It comes to Grant. Turns it down to Fosu. It's cleared away. The shot from Grant was blocked. It looked for all the world it was going goal round. And Blackpool just about deal with it.
Tilt and Hennigan have all come up, and they've passed it short to Thompson. Taylor has it back, and Thompson in Akers' space can control his ball into the box. It's a decent one. It's a header. Goal bound. It's a great save from Steer. The header in the end from Tilt, of all players.
Forced out by Bielik. Backwards it goes. And there is the half-time whistle to conclude a lively first 45 minutes at Bloomfield Road.
Daniels under pressure from Taylor again. Just my heart stopped for a moment. As Fosu gets on the ball, there's a ball inside to Bielik, who brings the ball forward for Charlton. He's just been taken out twice, Bielik, but he's on a great run. Finds Grant on the right-hand side. Grant in the penalty area. Grant trying to shape a shot.
Yeah! Come on!
Grant's shot was deflected and might be an own goal, but the Addicts won't care as they equalise. It's Rebo in the penalty area as well. I think the final ball might have come off Daniels. Grant with the run on the right-hand side, the ball across. And Charlton equalise.
Well, I think Aribo will claim that. Whether it came off Joe at the end is debatable. But Christian Bielik, what a superb run that was. He avoided two challenges. First one from Nangelo, could have been a free kick. The second one, I didn't see who the Blackpool player was, also could have been a free kick. But rode two challenges, got the ball out to Carlin Grant on the right-hand side as Charlton attack at the corner of the penalty area. Driven cross. And I don't know if it was Daniels who was in with the challenge on Joe Aribo. But Joe Rebo's claiming it. Lovely move to get
Doddu. Doddu gets past Lapsley. Doddu approaching the penalty area.
Players on the far side.
Doddu
as well.
Coming into the penalty area. Lapsley comes back and it's a great last-ditch challenge. I agree with you two. It looked like Lapsley might have conceded a penalty. George, what a last-ditch challenge in
George
the end for Lapsley.
Lapsley did superbly. I was telling him, as you heard, not to dog a flick on. Yes, that's a lovely flick as well. Finds Marshall. He's in there behind Mark Marshall. He's got Taylor in the middle. Taylor. Oh, he didn't take his hand. Ball! That has to be handball.
Oh, my word.
I didn't see who dived in. Daniels, he slid in and looked for all the world like it came off his hand. Bypassed his foot. Oh, I need to see that again. So tees up Lapsley, tries to back heel it into Stevenson. Does so. Finds Grant behind him. Grant, corner of the penalty area, looking for a space to make a shot. Does so. Oh, just past the post. To the left-hand side, and it's a goal kick, and Taylor's gone down injured in the process.
To the Charlton left-hand side, Taylor battling with Hennigan. Hennigan gets the head there up to Delfinesu, into the centre circle. Taken on Reeves, goes past him, out to the right-hand side, and Guy. Guy up against Christian Bielik, ball into the box, and it's got beyond Pierce, and it's a finish from Delfinesu to put Blackpool 2-1 up.
That's absolutely gutting for the Addicts. It's a lovely ball to pick him out by Guy. He's made a good run in between Pierce and Stevenson. Definese, it's a great finish as well, and Charlton will be absolutely gutted. In second half, they performed really well. They've not got that leading goal, and Blackpool
just took one moment of quality. The pass was superb, and oh my lord, they're playing this, which doesn't help. But Chalmby so frustrated with that, so frustrated.
That is the final whistle. Didn't play the 4 minutes for me, but still, the referee blows up here at Bloomfield Road, and Charlton have succumbed to the manager of the month curse.
Yeah, so things didn't go to plan, unfortunately, up at Bloomfield Road yesterday. Nathan Delfonso, or Delfonizo's last couple of minute goals for Blackpool steals the points. It was frustrating. Charlton seemed to be in the ascendancy as we went into those closing stages, but you know, you've got to make it count, and we didn't really, unfortunately, yesterday.
No, and I think obviously judging by obviously the highlights, we had plenty of chances to put them away, and then obviously there was the big talking point in terms of the player. But you still, if you're given chances and you're away from home, you know, definitely where you need to try and do a snatch and grab like we did at Burton, you need to take them, and it come back to haunt us yesterday with, like you say, Nathan Delfinaso.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about the major talking point after the game from Lee Bowyer was whether there should have been a second yellow card for Curtis Tilt. Now, one of the Blackpool players, he'd already been booked, I think it was for a trip on Fosu, and then there was a point where he took out Lyle Taylor, and I mean, it's described as a rugby challenge style thing. We've seen that in the last few games from Chris Solly, haven't we? And he certainly got booked for it. So I mean, on another day, that should be a yellow card. But then I counter that with, I mean, Lyle Taylor got a yellow card in the second half, but before that, he clearly should have been booked for quite a nasty challenge near the halfway line, you know, missed time challenge, where I thought he would have got a yellow card as well. So I guess if we're going to look at one of them, we have to look at the both of them. But at the same time, you know, if Blackpool do go down to 10 men in the first half, then that could have made it a very different game, or they could have just very much gone into their shell and made themselves very hard to break down, which they already are. They concede some of the fewest amounts of goals in League One already.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's all in hindsight, isn't it? But I mean, when there's a talking point like that, it's always going to be at the front of Bo's mind, and it just seems. He said it before. It's like consistency. It's just like, well, it shouldn't really matter, because you usually have that myth if someone does like a challenge in the first 10 minutes and if a red card, that they usually won't get sent off. But it shouldn't actually be like that. You know, rules are the rules. But like you say, if Taylor should have been sent off, then maybe he should have. So at least he was consistently bad for both teams then, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, the big team news beforehand, we all know that last week we rested all these players, and I'm sure we'll come on to that for later on in the show. But he pretty much brought everyone back from the Burton game, other than, of course, Toby Stevenson was making his league debut at left-back, so I think you'd say that, therefore, Naby was sort of dropped because he played at left-back up at Burton. I thought Toby did okay. He was given a torrid time in the first half by Liam Feeney, but on the whole, he did okay. I think he'll be reasonably happy with his performance. But you know, big day for the young man to get your senior league debut.
Yeah, of course, and it's a testament to the hard work he's been putting in, and obviously the performances. I mean, I remember when we spoke to Bowyer after Stevenage, wasn't it?
And yeah,
you know, he said that Toby had a good game, but he didn't know if he was ready yet, and he's been given a couple games since then, obviously the Mansfields and obviously yesterday. So it's showing that he's obviously doing something right in training. So is he going to be a first choice left back? No, he isn't. But at least you know he's pushing now, and Bowyer knows that you can trust him. So it was a great day for him. Mm. Just showing about the result.
Yeah. So Charlton started in the first 5 minutes or so. We actually strung a move together. It was a nice move, actually, involving Aribo, I think, as well as Grant and Taylor. Ended up with Taylor having the effort on the right hand side that was well saved by the goalkeeper. But then we really just seemed to fall apart in that first half, and you know, Blackpool started to really assert themselves, and you know, we've had that perhaps a couple of times in the last couple of away games. Even that Burton game that we did go on to win, we struggled to find ourselves within the game at times. I mean, why do you think that we, you know, away from home over the last couple of results? I mean, these are good teams at home, of course, in Blackpool and Burton. But you know, we know in that second half that we can assert ourselves on a game. So why do you think we weren't quite able to do it in that first half?
Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on, because, like you say, we've done it in the second half. But maybe, you know, playing away from home, you're going to get pressed a lot higher, maybe. Whereas when you're playing at home, a lot of teams will probably sit behind the ball more. But I don't know. I mean, unless it, because then you could think, oh, maybe they're not confident enough. But then they are a confident bunch, and they can play like that. Like you said, they did in the second half. So, and I think that's what the frustrating thing is. obviously for Bowes and Jacko, is that they know what they're capable of. And we're just not. I think that's the story of our season so far. We've not really been consistent throughout. Whereas if you look at teams like Portsmouth, they're pretty consistent. So, and that they obviously it's the signs show that in the table. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but we have to do it for 90 minutes. We can't just do it for 45 minutes and expect to get 3 points away from home against good teams.
Yeah, and obviously the goal that we conceded, it did come from that left-hand side as a, from a Charlton point of view. It was a good ball over to Liam Feeney on that far side. Got the low cross into the middle. I mean, Jed Steer palmed it into a danger zone. I mean, he had to get something onto the cross, and it's just one of those ones where you're going to pray as a goalkeeper that it falls to one of your players as a low ball comes fizzing across. But it fell to our man Nangele. To poke it ahead, and all of a sudden, I guess you're sort of up against it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're chasing a game, which you know we both said already that it's a team that don't concede many goals. They've only lost to Sunderland and Bristol, I think, at home this year. So, you know, they're not exactly going to be easy to play against. And then you're chasing the game, but we got foothold back in it. But yeah, it just makes the whole complex of the game and probably both tactics a little bit more different, because you're going to have to be a little bit more riskier and more expressive in your play.
I mean, looking at the goal, was there anything that you felt that we could have done better? Could the keeper have held on to it or palmed it somewhere else? Or for me, it was such a good fizz cross. There wasn't really a great deal that he could actually do.
No, exactly. I mean, in hindsight, you'd say, you know, you'd try and push the ball out to the side so you're outside of danger. But sometimes it's just a reaction save, isn't it? If it's fizzed in and it's coming out with your speed, you've just got to get something on it. And like you say, hope it's picked up, the second ball's picked up by your team. But you know, we can't really grumble too much, really, in terms of like Jed. I mean, he obviously had to get something on it, but it is what it is, isn't it, really?
Yeah. And then we were really up against it after that. We just could not keep hold of the ball. And I think it goes to show that when we're not playing the ball around nicely and keep losing possession, then we're never going to find our way through other teams. I mean, it took a long time, up until very much the end of that first half, before we started to gain any sort of momentum in the game.
And that could be a combination of us not doing things properly, and also Blackpool obviously doing their homework on us and not letting us the space to play. But like I said, I think for us, we just need to try and be that a little bit more consistent, because I know we've only just dropped out of the playoffs, and it's not over. Of course it isn't, but for us to maintain in that sort of top fifth or sixth now, because I think the others are getting cut away, but we just need to maintain the standards that which we all seen throughout the whole season, how we can play sometimes, like that Barnsley game. That's the standards we should be setting. That's the standards we've set, so that's what we should be aspiring to each week.
Right, there was a couple more chances for Blackpool actually before we finally found our way back into it. I think Steer made a really good save from a Joe Dodoo effort on him as well. I mean, he actually looked all right. So yeah, looked reasonably lively.
Amazing, isn't it?
She never did for us. Any, of course, the Charltonisation that he suffered while he was with us. And then we did finally start, as I said, just towards the end of that first half, to have a couple of chances. Lapsley was played through a lovely 1-2, and his shot was blocked. Now, when you watch it back, actually, it looked like it hit an arm. But it would have been tough to have seen that given as a penalty, because the arm was right down by the side, and the rebound fell to Grant, that was well saved as well. And then just before half time, I mean, Tilt, who arguably shouldn't have been on the pitch at this point, won a header from a corner. It was well saved by Jed Steer. And we get into the interval at half time, the heavens open. So I was half thinking, actually, I wouldn't say no for it being called off right now, the way we're playing at the time. But you know, it's a chance to regroup. And I guess judging by how we started the second half, it looked like Lee Bayer really, really laid into him at the break.
Yeah, I think he would have had to if it, you know, he was saying how bad, you know, how poor we were in the first half, and he obviously said in his post match he just needed to remind them of how good they are and how they should just get it on the floor a little bit more, because he did say in the week, I think Tony Hudd said in his post match, if the pitch would make Bowyer change his way of playing, and he said no. But obviously, on all accounts of the first half, then it obviously the players did, because they weren't doing what Bowes was what he expects. So, but yeah, they know that he can give them a good rollicking if he needs to. So,
in fairness, the pitch actually seemed all right when we were out there. When we got there, we were having a chat with the groundsman, and he was very proud of the work he'd done in the 6 months or so he'd been at Blackpool. The groundsman they had last year had been sacked, by the sounds of it. And the pitch was in a much better state. It still had issues with the sand in the corner and all that, but it wasn't too bad. Now, like I say, we did start to come out in that second half and started to put them under a little bit of pressure, and the goal came from a superb run from Christian Billick. Brought the ball out of defence or out of defensive midfield, played it over to Carlin Grant, who's in space. And sometimes when you're at that angle, sometimes you just got to drill it low into the middle of the 6 yard box and see what falls to you. Now in the highlights you heard there from Greg and even myself from where we were sitting in the press box, it looked like it went off the back of Donovan Daniels' like shin and then just went into the goal. But then when you watch the replay, it is Joe Aribo just nipped ahead of him. You know, that's his fifth goal of the season now, Joey. I mean, always talking about how Jake Forster-Kaski added goals to his game ever since Bowyer started coaching him. It seems to be working quite nicely for Joe Aribo as well.
Yeah, he's obviously getting himself in those sort of areas. It wouldn't surprise me if he's going to aim for double figures, I would imagine. I don't know if he's... Oh, he might have come out and said that. I don't know.
Yeah, but, effectively.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. So, I mean, and that's what you've got. He's got to sort of aim for because he's capable of it. You know, he's very good with the ball at his feet. We know how good he is in terms of going past players. And the good thing about Joey, he's got all the goals that he's had, he's got, they're all different. So you've got tap-ins, you've got good finishes, you've got headers in there. So he's like you say, him and like Bowes and Jacko are really making him as a good all-round midfield player. And yeah, and he's come on leaps and bounds, and he seems to be improving as the weeks go by, which is obviously great to see. But at the same time, as much as he's improving, he also increases the risk of actually losing him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's always the worry here, unfortunately. George Lapsley made a superb recovery challenge after the ball was given away in midfield to stop Blackpool as they went through 1-1. And then Mark Marshall was thrown on for the last 20 minutes or so. And the very first thing he did was actually win the ball and then cross it over the crossbar. So I was thinking, oh no, if he hasn't sort of fallen back into his previous vein of form. But he actually gave Blackpool some real problems in that last 20 minutes. Some good balls in. There was that one that fell for a potential handball in the middle. One of the central defenders sort of went down right next to Lyle Taylor. I mean, again, you could hear from Terry's reaction. From where we were, we couldn't quite tell. But, I mean, the players and the supporters behind the goal all seemed certain as a handball. It's just one of those decisions that didn't go our way. And Bowyer, again, he didn't have too much to say about it after. But you never know with a cross like that. If it hits the hand while he's on the floor and it takes it away from Lyle Taylor, then you could argue that it stopped Taylor getting the ball.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, handball should only be if it's done intentionally, isn't it?
That's the wording of the rule. But.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. So things like that, handball is so subjective. It's just down to an individual's interpretation of the law. So you might, like, that's why you might get it one week and then not get the decision the next. But I think Bowes would say, yeah, even if he did say it was a penalty, which he obviously said he didn't really allude to it, but we had enough chances to get another goal. So, as you could hear in the comms. So that was, it could have been a penalty, but we did have other chances to put the game to bed, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, we saw George Lapsley had a shot that went over the bar. Then I think probably our best chance of that last 15 minutes or so was one where Carlin cut in from that far side onto his right foot, curled it in. Only just went just past that far post, and also at the same time, Lyle Taylor was there. He may well have had a tap in, but he just couldn't quite get onto it. And then Reevesy came on, only a cameo for him, but there's two very disappointing free kicks put into the box from Ben Reeves with everyone in there. Both of them failed to beat the first man, which he would have been frustrated with. And then we get caught with that sucker punch, and it's the last thing you want to see. It was a lovely little through ball from Guy, who'd just come off the bench, and Nathan Delfonso got the wrong side of Jason Pearson. It's a good finish, but you know, it's a real sucker punch to lose a game when you feel like you're the team in the ascendancy.
Yeah, and I think you said it earlier. It probably, we done it at Burton. It was a smash and grab. I don't know if it was a smash and grab yesterday for Burton, because I know they had Burton for Blackpool, because they did have quite a few
in that first half. They feel like they were much the team on top, so yeah. It's hard to say it was a smash and grab. I think a draw would have been a fair result, yeah. But yeah, it's just one of those ones.
But yeah, you're always going to get, I mean, obviously we've got a couple of, the amount of late goals that we're having, I can't remember, this was a couple of weeks ago, where I looked at how many late goals changed the amount of points tally, and the late goals we have, for and against us, really, it's absolutely mental, really. You look at Coventry, you've got the home games we've had here, the win against Shrewsbury. It's just mad. It's the amount of sort of late drama we have in games, which obviously causes some people to have bets. Because we thought we was going to win the Jack of Jackpot as well at some stage.
Yeah.
That never come off, unfortunately. But yeah, it's gutting. It was gutting. But then, you know, they are a good team. And we just have to dust ourselves down for Tuesday, because In December, these come thick and fast now. These fixtures.
Yeah, I mean, to talk about the game as a whole. I mean, I saw someone put on one of the forums talk about how Bilic plays in the central defensive midfield now. Of course, rather than defensive midfield, but I actually thought, particularly in that second half, he was pretty impressive yesterday. So we know he's had some poor games in that role, but at the same time, once he can sort of grab a match by the scruff of the neck, then he can actually be quite an asset, and he can certainly run with the ball. I'd say probably better than Josh Cullen could do. So he does bring something slightly different to what Cullen does whilst he's out injured.
Yeah, he does, and you just said it there. He's very comfortable on the ball. He can drive with the ball. He's a bigger lad, and he's obviously more powerful than Josh. So, whereas I think Josh is quite clever in terms of how he keeps the ball moving, like the water carrier, so to speak. But he'll always keep it moving. But yeah, Bilic is good. Like I said, he's good at his feet. He's powerful. He's good at set pieces. But yeah, so it was a delight for him. Just like you say, he did have that where he got subbed off. I can't remember.
In Rochdale,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, he subbed off, wasn't he? So yeah, and it was a delight for him, and because he's obviously got to step up now, like you say, because Josh is going to be out for another, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it could be longer, who knows?
Exactly, so we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, a delight for Christian.
Yeah, right. And so overall then, so I mean, we don't want to get too down in the dumps when it's your first league defeat. In five, you know, we had those four wins in a row. We've dropped out of the playoffs for now, of course. Still got a game in hand, tough game on Tuesday, of course, down at Portsmouth, which we'll talk about towards the end of the show. But I mean, overall, like, context of the season sort of thing, you know, dust yourselves down and you have to go again.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I think if we had everyone, you know, all the players that were fit right now, I would say it'd be disappointed to be seventh, because we shouldn't be there. But given the where we have injuries, it's not like just like one position. It's like all across. You had Pat there, you had obviously Josh, Pagey. So in hindsight, if I look at it like that, I'm not that disappointed, because we're seventh. We're only one away from fifth and sixth now, because Barnsley lost yesterday to Wickham. So we've got three more games and we're halfway through the season. So we're there or thereabouts, but it's just disappointed we ain't nearer to Portsmouth as I would have thought. But we're not out of it by any means. And big game on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, with the squad that we have and with the size of our squads and the injuries and whatnot, I mean, it's hard to say what a realistic expectation would have been at this time of the year, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, anything can change as well, can't it? So, especially with our injury sort of record. But I think if we get the likes of Josh back and just keep him fit, and it'd be interesting to see what Bowes does next month in the window, if he can do anything. Because obviously Ward, his thing does expire, but I know he said that he wouldn't mind staying. But will Bo want to go in and get someone else in a different position? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, looking at it now, you'll probably say it'd be disappointing if we didn't get into the playoffs. Because you look at the teams around us, you know, no disrespect, like the Blackpools and the Doncasters, we're more or less, I wouldn't say we're worse than them. I think we're probably slightly better, so we should be aimed for that top six for sure. Which a lot of people were probably saying playoffs minimum this year. But you've got to beat the teams in and around you. We didn't yesterday, so we need to try and put that back on Tuesday.
Right, okay, let's hear what Lee Bayer had to say after the game. Don't forget, you can have your say on this evening's show. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for this evening's show. You can have your say via any of those methods. A few of you already have, and we'll come on to those in a little while. But yesterday, after the game, the 2-1 defeat up at Blackpool, I caught up with Charlton boss Lee Bayer, and this is how he saw the contest.
First half, we started off well, I think. We moved the ball, and I thought, okay, we carry on doing this, then we'll win the game comfortably. But then after 10 minutes, maybe we started to do what they do, and it was going long, and then it became like a fight, really, a dog fight, and they was winning more second balls, and just scrappy. I thought first half, obviously, we give them a goal start. So yeah, first half wasn't good enough, but second half, I think we controlled the game very well. Second half, created so many chances, and and we just weren't ruthless enough. And then they nicked it at the end. For me, that once we equalised, there was only one team going to win this game. It was just a matter of time for me, and then to concede a poor goal like that is what was obviously frustrating. I don't think we deserved that. Lads gave everything, you know. We didn't deserve to lose.
The game's always going to get stretched as you're looking for that winner, and Charlton, as you said, did seem to be the team in the ascendancy, and then you just get hit with one on the counter like that.
Yeah, and unfortunately that happens in football. Well, I learned from it, pick them back up. Just said to him, like, you gave me everything there, and first four 5 minutes you can't give a team a one goal lead, and that's what we've done, and that's what's cost us at the end of the day, that and a referee's decision in the first half.
The referee's decision in the second half not to award a penalty when there was a potential handball, the Charlton players all around it, right in front of the Charlton fans as well. Did you have a good view on that?
Yes, a bit far away, but the fourth official was saying like he slid and then they hit him on the arm. I've not seen it, so I can't really comment on that. But the lads appealed loudly, so there must have been his arm for sure. But that, basically the tilt, he should have been sent off first half. He's been booked, and then he rugby tackles Lowell once he's gone past him. It's the most blatant yellow card I've ever seen in my life. He should be sent off, and I don't want to see no one get sent off, but stick to the rules. Like you can't just make them up. It's wrong, you know. Like, and again, you can say that's cost us. Like, another refereeing decision is like they go down to 10 men. That's it. Well, we dominated the second half. We're 11. So to do it, if they'd have gone down to 10, which they should have done, even their manager said it was definitely a yellow card. Even him, and the fourth official said, yeah, well, if he hadn't already been booked, then he might have got. Well, come on. So you're blatantly making up the rules, like. It's just wrong, you know, like you can't, because these things cost you. Instead of us getting 3 points, we've got no points. So yeah, it's a frustrating day.
With the frustrations, obviously you'll take the positives from that second half performance and try and make sure they take that into Tuesday now, with Portsmouth coming so soon after today.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. They've won again today, Portsmouth. And they don't concede many goals, so it's going to be tough. I'm sure it'll be packed out there as well. And so yeah, we need to dust ourselves down and get ready for Tuesday.
Jamie Ward was missing from the squad today. He said during the week it could be a couple of weeks, and obviously his loan spell is coming to an end now. Do you think there's any chance you're going to try and keep him on beyond January?
I don't know. I'll look at that situation once we get nearer the time. At the moment, I'm just need to concentrate on what I'm doing here and there. So,
do you know what exactly his injury is?
Thigh. I think it's a thigh. Thigh strain, I think.
He's so. Still looking like a couple of weeks, do you think?
Yeah. He's at least 2 weeks.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
as Niall Taylor has a glorious chance on his Addicts debut. Gives Charlton a lead, a referee blows the whistle. Taylor steps up. Niall Taylor.
Yes! Charlton! Charlton take the lead after 9 minutes. Niall Taylor on his Charlton debut gives the away side an unlikely lead.
Welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday afternoon, actually. It's obviously a slightly different show this evening because we're going off to the playoff final dinner. Also means we'll be cutting the show slightly short, but we'll be off getting boozed up with the our heroes from 1998. So it should be a good evening, and of course all for in aid of the Community Trust, which do such good work in London and the South East and represent the club so well. So yeah, looking forward to that. Thank you for joining us. Those of you who have joined us early this evening, otherwise you'll be listening on the podcast as per usual, so you won't really notice any difference. But yeah, we just heard from Lee Bowyer there. He always speaks with his heart on his sleeve, doesn't he? And clearly wound up about the situation with this Curtis Tilt. Now, I have to put my hands up, and I said I didn't see it. It must have happened at one point where either I couldn't see properly, or I didn't have the clear view on what happened. But everyone else who was talking about it said it had to be a second yellow card, and that makes a big difference. I mean, Bowyer, you know, didn't go straight for that. He was talking about the performance, and he admitted that we weren't our fluid best in that first half. But I guess when you're a manager as well and you see these small margins that could go either way, you just kind of wish that the referee's paying attention more than I was.
Yeah, I think, like you say, he's an honest guy, and I think that's what a lot of the fans like, is someone who just says it as it is. And but like you say, he didn't come out and when you interviewed him, he didn't come out straight away and just straight away about the ref. You know, he said that we weren't good enough, and then you can't hide your frustration. That, you know, the fans are probably thinking exactly the same, and if their manager even turned around and said that it was probably a yellow, then you can understand why he's going to be frustrated. But yeah, no, him being honest is good for all of us, especially heard on the one yesterday when he called all their three defenders the meatheads.
Yeah.
That absolutely killed me.
Yeah,
I think that it's quite refreshing having managers like that, and they don't just sort of play, because, you know, post-match, they're still emotional people as well, and their emotions are going to be sort of still sky high, so you can't expect managers to really be like a robot and say everything you want. But yeah, I like him being honest.
Yeah. Now, of course, the main talking point of last week was the fact that we rested all these players in the FA Cup. And, you know, you therefore say, well, that they should be fresher for the start of that second half. It didn't really sort of turn out that way, did it? And now the likes of Blackpool, I think, played a fairly strong team in their games against Solihull. And, you know, loads of other teams in our league played strong teams, and it didn't seem to affect them yesterday. So now there's so many hypothetical questions here, but if we had played a stronger team last week, would we automatically have looked more fresh rather than a bit sluggish in the first half yesterday? I mean, that's the questions that a lot of people have been asking around. I guess it's never easy to prove either way which one it would have been. If we had played a full strength team last week and won and not got any injuries, we may well have had loads of confidence this week and gone straight into it. But at the same time, you know, there could have been players who needed a rest and are happy for it and were able therefore to play this week because they had a bit of a rest last week.
Yeah, exactly. And like you say, you're never really going to... No, we could have played our full strength last week, won last week, and turned up today and got battered yesterday and got battered 4-0. You know, and it's not that sort of that clear cut. But I understand people's opinions in terms of resting the players and stuff. But me personally, I agree 100% on what Bo's done. I would have done the same. Yeah, well, you know, the result didn't go our way this time, but it's not the end of the world. You know, it's not like if you rest your players, you're guaranteed to win the next Saturday. You know, Blackpool are a good team. But I think some of the changes he made, I think he might have had an eye on Tuesday for sure, especially with like Anthony will probably come in for Toby and that sort of stuff. So yeah, you're not going to guarantee, but it's like you said, it's hard to, because as soon as we went 1-0 down, I saw some people piping up on Twitter, and then it was 1-0, and then no one said anything, which was quite funny, and then 2-1, they all come back again. So you know, it's fair enough.
It was 2-1 when we could have quite easily been the team to have taken that 2-1 lead. And Mark Anderson's just tweeted in, actually, pointed out Charlton's record in December.
Yeah.
Well, he's described it with a picture of a dog smoking in a winter's jacket. But I think it's like,
yeah.
I mean, Charlton's record in December now. So now, including yesterday, our last 34 games, league games that we played in December, we've only won twice. I mean, that run goes back about 5 years, I think, or 6 years, 2012. It would have been 5 years I worked it out to. I mean, that is the problem is, in all of those years, we've always had a squad that's a bit too small. And now when you're starting to reach the difficult, busy part of the midwinter of the season, you know, December's always a difficult month. That's when it's going to start to cost us. And you just hope that it doesn't really catch up with us again this year, as it has done over the last few.
Yeah, exactly. And like you say, December's loads of games. And, you know, if you go on a bad run of form in December, you could find yourself cut adrift from the playoff pack. So I can't really put your feet. You can't really put your finger on it, really. I don't know if it's just they don't like the cold, or they just start boozing. They might just like a drink, but I don't know. But you know,
it's not proven.
It's an odd stat, but it, you know, you can't hide from the fact. But we really need to keep in touch with this top six, just to get into January, just in case there's any hope of not spending, but getting bodies in on loan.
Yeah, right, let's have a look at some of these messages that started coming in yesterday. Cliff Scales, we're in disappointing to lose yesterday. We should have got at least a point, but you don't always get what you deserve in football. We didn't deserve to win at Burton, but we did. There's still a long way to go. Let's bounce back at Portsmouth on Tuesday. That does seem to be very much like the karma coming back round to get us on to bite us on the backside for that win at Burton Albion a couple of weeks ago, where we never deserved to win. And yesterday, you know, we were certainly the team that seemed to be the ascendancy as we went into that closing 15-20 minutes. You know, Bowyer said it himself, and I agree that it did only look like at that point there was only going to be one team to win it. But then Lapsley went off, Reeves come on, Blackpool just started to gain a little bit more in midfield. They had a shot that only just went over the bar. I think it was from Daniels or someone. And then not long after, had that winning goal. So it's just one of those ones where you're disappointed because your performance probably merited more than what you got.
Yeah, and you're going to get those in the season. But then, like Cliff said, you might get games where you don't deserve anything, but then you'll get points. So I think it all swings around about. So I don't think we should be too... Yeah, it did be gutted that, you know, the performance wasn't there, but not be too disheartened. Because we win on Tuesday, we're, 4 points off Luton or something. You know, and then we'll get, 37 we'll be on? Yeah. So it's like, it's not the end of the world, you know. It's so tight there up there. And
yeah, Luton on 41, we're on 34. Luton have played a game more than us. They're in second. Obviously, now you're looking at... Sunderland have only played 19, we've played 20, they're on 40, they had their game abandoned yesterday. So there are teams above us who are in a much more comfortable position. Obviously, Pompey are on 47, so they're already 13 points ahead of us, so you'd have to struggle to see us catching up with them.
Yeah.
Just checking how far we are above relegation. Yeah, we're safe. I think top two is going to be a bit of a struggle, but if we win tomorrow, then like I say, we're only going to be... 4 points behind Luton, so you never know. But yeah. I think you know, we have to aim for the playoffs. I think someone tweeted as much in earlier. Big Blue said it's obvious our only hope of promotion is through the playoffs, and I do agree with him. And I think I think that's probably what I've been hoping for all season, that we can aim for the playoffs. Right, Spenny said people calling for Bowyer to go is absolutely ridiculous. Under the current ownership and injury crisis, he's doing a brilliant job. He is passionate about the club. Who could do a better job? But now, I mean, I have to admit, I haven't actually seen too many people calling for Bowyer's head. I think there was one on the Facebook group yesterday, and I assume they were joking, because I mean, obviously we've come off this good run. It's a disappointing result last week in the FA Cup. People weren't too happy with one or two things as well, obviously, about the changes. But overall, I mean, he's still doing a good job. He's still, considering how we're feeling earlier at the start of the season, we're in a much more healthy position.
Oh yeah, of course we are. And I think we've got players now that players that we didn't have last year, but now they're all of a sudden injured. So I mean, yeah, that's what I said earlier in terms of the injuries we've got, and they're for key players, you know, like Josh Cullen. He makes us tick, and even though we won four on the bounce, which is great, you can still see when he's not playing how, you know, I don't think we're as fluid. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we're not miles away from anyone. So, Yeah, we just need to try and put a little mini run together. Not necessarily a winning run, it'd be nice, but just an unbeaten run, just to keep in the pack until January.
Sebo tweeted in saying, I will be the dinner tonight, which, I mean, yeah, and you're saying, Nathan, you're not that hungry now, but it's sad it's come to that stage where we're after going to eat Sebo. I think you meant he's coming to
he's
the
coming
dinner.
At, yeah.
I will be at the dinner this evening, which we look forward to seeing you there, Sebo. Obviously, I saw him yesterday. I saw him a couple of times. I saw him at Preston Station, and then I saw him, yeah, on both ways, back and forth. And I saw him in Sainsbury's as well with his Santa hat on after the game.
Oh, yesterday?
Yeah, he loves it. Tom Bramley says, unfortunately, I was one of the few to go to Blackpool yesterday. The first half was the worst 45 minutes that I've seen this season. I try to back Boya as much as I can, but the players look sluggish and slow after their 10-day break. So Tom's arguing that perhaps maybe even that break did sort of have them off the pace a little bit, maybe a little bit sluggish. I mean, is that possible? It's so hard to say, isn't it? I mean, we have international breaks, and all of a sudden they'll be sluggish after that?
Yeah, possibly, but then you could flip it the way around and say, you know, that it gave them extra time to get rid of any sort of minor injuries or anything, but... I don't know. From what I can gather, I think the whole team was off the pace, not just the individuals that were rested. Because you still had some players that were playing in that Mansfield game, yeah, albeit not all of them. But yeah, I can understand it. The questions will be asked, of course. So if you rest all the players, you don't win your following game. I think it was like when we done the England done it, didn't we, in the Euros or something the other year when we rested players against Slovakia for the Iceland game or something, wasn't it? And then that turned out well. But, yeah, it's all hindsight for me.
Yeah, right. Mark Anderson said he had a little nose at what West Ham family were up to yesterday at half-time. Charlton and West Ham were both losing. He said he fancied a comeback from both, but alas, I had to endure a cockney knees up while dying inside. And he said it's a big game Tuesday. Yeah, I mean, we had the same. So we had the bet where Charlton to be losing at half-time and win at full-time for the Jacko's jackpot bet. And we had the first half defeat in hand. And then we thought, you know, especially with that last 20 minutes, we might come out winners there. But unfortunately not right. Jimmy C said it's also predictable. We battle away with limited resources, but the squad depth ends up being exposed. Until we get new owners, whoever they may be, that's the way it's going to be. Just sell the club, Roland. And that does say, I mean, it even happened under the previous owners. As I say, this weird December thing. We had that under that year when we started off still with Slater and Jimenez. The squad was so stagnant that year, and we found ourselves in trouble going into December. And it's because the squad there's no room for sort of maneuvement. No room for maneuver. Yeah, there we go.
Maneuvement.
Yeah, blimey. At times, and that can obviously hold us back.
Yeah, I think when it comes to December, you're playing Bowie's favourite saying: Tuesday, Saturday.
Yeah.
You're going to need to rotate. But Boya doesn't. He can do it in some positions. In you know, he might be able to do it up top or whatever. But in the middle of the park, he can't. And then you're going to play places like Blackpool where the pitches are heavy, and it takes out your legs. So you know you've got George and Joe, and then they're now going to have to go to a difficult side at Portsmouth, and then do it again. So that's the only difficult thing because the squad depth is so short, you can't change it up.
Excellent. Right, Rocco said, disappointing result and a tough game to follow on Tuesday. With the league so open, we have to win these games. With the late win at Burton, there was a glimpse for a top two push. We must get into a similar run as the top four to stay around that top end of the table. Nothing wrong there. Right, also Southwest Addict, how do you say, on the forum, said, after four league wins in a row, it's difficult to be annoyed after losing at Blackpool. I do feel the injuries in midfield to Cullen, Prattley, Reeves, etc. have probably been key to our poor performances against Bristol, Burton and Blackpool. I'm still certain we will finish in the top six. I fully expect us to beat most teams at home in this division. I do feel we suffer from complacency against smaller clubs away from home, the likes of Rochdale, Scunney, Blackpool and Accrington. I think we will get at least a draw at Portsmouth on Tuesday. I would not be surprised if we put in our best performance of the season on Tuesday, as we usually raise our game against the better clubs. And yeah, certainly, and we will be looking ahead to that game with Portsmouth just after this, because yesterday Tom Wallin and Lewis Catt from Charlton Live were both up there at Bloomfield Road to watch how the Addicts got, and they recorded an audio diary for us. This is how their day went down up on the Fylde Coast.
Yeah. it's about 20 minutes to kick off. I'm here with Charlton Live's Lewis Catt. Lewis, what do you make of Blackpool so far? You've been here, what, 24 hours? What are your thoughts?
Windy.
Very windy.
Very windy. Bit fragile from last night. But yeah, it's a nice little ground, isn't it? It's very empty. Very empty. But yeah, it's pretty cold and wet here today. But I know last year you had the disappointment of not getting a game at all. So at least it looks like we're going to get a game this season down here. So yeah, big game today.
Yeah, I was going to say an hour ago when the rain was pouring again, I was thinking not second time. But yeah, your first time up to Blackpool. What are you expecting today from Charlton?
Well, I'm hoping that we can win today, really. Push that, you know, get a bit of a gap on the top six. Win today can actually carry us up a couple of spots with the game in hand on Tuesday night. If we can get something up at Portsmouth, which would be brilliant. You know, we're really looking to push at that top two. So I think it's really important that we try and get a result today. Blackpool not doing too bad themselves, but on paper you look at the two sides. Really, you know, Charlton have got to have the better of the starting 11s. Definitely, they've got Joe Dodoo in their starting 11 who didn't impress at all during his time at Charlton for me last season. So if he can get in the Blackpool starting 11, then I'm sort of, to me, sort of flags up maybe depth wise they're not too great, but they're doing alright in the league so far. So obviously something's working for them, but I think that we've got enough to beat them today.
And in terms of that team news, I think 10 changes from the side that lost to Doncaster in the FA Cup. I suppose the headline news really is Toby Stevenson coming in for his league debut. What have you made of him so far? I mean, obviously got an eye for goal, but just in general his performances so far,
he's been alright. I mean, I've saw him up at the Stevenage game where obviously he was sensational. Showed that he's definitely got a keen eye for goal. Impressive hat-trick up there, and had a couple of tests now against Doncaster and Mansfield and looked alright. I thought maybe had a couple of shaky moments at Doncaster last weekend, but all in all really young, so it's great for him to be in the starting 11. And it's good that, you know, Lee Bowyer keeps giving these opportunities to the young players through our academy. And I think he'll do well today. He's got plenty of good heads around him that can support him, you know, the likes of Jason Pearce, Chris Solly, Patrick Bauer in that back line, Billy just in front of them as well. He's got plenty of support around him, and I think it's key, you know, to sort of bloody these youngsters in games like this, sort of show him what he's made of.
And obviously a chance again for George Lapsu. We saw him at the start of the season against Sunderland, really impressive. He's had little cameos really since then, but back in the starting 11 today. What do you expect from him today?
I've been really impressed with George Lapsu all season. And I think you mentioned to me yesterday, his debut last season was against Blackpool. He looked a little bit lightweight and a little bit off it. So when he came in to start against Sunderland, I think we were all a little bit worried, especially with the squad depth as it was then. But since he's been in the side, he's been really impressive. He's got real fight about him, and he'll chase every ball down. He seems to have an unbelievable engine on him. He never seems to stop running, and that's what we ask. He's a proper Charlton player, and I think obviously that stems from him being such a big Charlton fan as well. He's just got that sort of fight and desire to chase down any loose ball. You know, he won't duck out of a tackle, and it's good for him. I imagine he's living his childhood dream, playing for his childhood club and performing well. And yeah, it's great to see.
Half time, 1-0 Blackpool. Players haven't really turned up. Do you reckon they were in Pop World last night as well, Lou?
They must have been, mate. Yeah, the way they're playing, I think they've got a sorer head than I have at the moment. It's not great. Just sloppy in possession, can't seem to string any passes together. The most impressive person on the pitch has been Jed Steer with a couple of great saves. And yeah, Charlton haven't turned up. Looked alright in sort of the opening couple of minutes, had a couple of chances up there, but apart from that, we're just lumping the ball long and the wind's against us every time. It's just not effective. And Lee Bowyer really disappointed at half time. I wouldn't want to be in that dressing room.
Definitely not. And he was, I don't think those fans wanted to get too close to him either, did they, in that first half, because he was kicking off a little bit. And you're right, he's got to be frustrated with the play the players are playing, because it just doesn't look like they've turned up so far.
No, not at all. And I think these are the big games that matter. You know, we're knocking around the playoffs with these guys. They're a couple of points below us at the moment. And these are the results that you need to pick up, and if you want to make up any ground. And you know, he's won the manager of the month, and he came out yesterday saying he doesn't believe in the curse, and he's so determined to, you know, to get the win today and sort of break that duck. But they play like that second half, they've got absolutely no chance. So Blackpool could have had about three in that half.
It's a cliche, isn't it, about getting stuck in, and you know, it's raining, it's windy, it's cold. But you think back to that game at Burton the other week when we managed to get that 2-1 win, and Bowyer said a Charlton team last season wouldn't have got that win. They showed the character then, but to me it just seems like the fight just doesn't seem to be there today. We're being overrun and out fought all over the park. What do you think you put that down to?
I'm as shocked as you are, mate. I think it's a completely different performance. You know, we've proved that we can win win dirty, and we proved that we've got the grit and the determination to grind out a result when we know when we're maybe being outplayed. But today we've just been outplayed completely and have had nothing on the ball, absolutely nothing. And whether the weather contributes to it, I don't think it can, because it was pretty grim up at Burton on the Tuesday night. I think it's hard in this sort of stadium to sort of get sort of wired up for a game. It's quite flat, you know, the ongoing problems with Blackpool and the Oysters, and it's a pretty empty ground, and there's not really an atmosphere, so it feels like a bit like a pre-season friendly.
It does, doesn't it? It's bizarre. I think
maybe that can play a part, I suppose. There's not really a lot, you know, there's nothing spurring the players on. We're at the other end of the pitch to the strikers at the moment, so maybe second half we got Carlin and Lyle up this end, maybe we can, you know, get behind them a little bit, see if it spurs them on. But there's got to be a massive change. There has to be a huge change in the second half.
Last season I came up, the game got called off before the game, but with the rain now, what do you reckon the chances are of this game getting called off in the second half? Because I don't know if it's coming across on the audio, but it is tipping it down now.
Yeah, I mean, just before we left the pub earlier, it was absolutely bucketing down, wasn't it? And we were sort of hoping that the game would go ahead. I mean, the way they're playing at the moment, it wouldn't be too bad if it got called off. But hopefully this passes, because this is horrendous, and I'm already thinking about our walk back, so... not really enjoy that at all.
And just finally, would you see any changes at half time, or what do you see Boyer doing in the second half to try and wake him up a little bit?
I don't know. I think he's pretty handicapped, to be fair, at the moment in terms of what he can do to make a real change.
You talked about that narrow midfield not working though. Do you think maybe even just adjusting the formation slightly?
Yeah, I think that's something you'd have to look at. But with Billick sort of playing that defensive mid role, you know, we've mentioned in the first half that maybe he's not really doing that role greatly at the moment. He's proved that he can do it in a couple of games, but up at Rochdale he had a really bad time of it. He's having a very similar performance today. But in terms of bringing anyone off the bench, I mean, you've got Ben Reeves there, but he's probably not 100% fit. He's probably better suited to a narrow diamond than the light, you know, Fosu maybe. I haven't been too impressed with Tariq Fosu in the first half. Seems to be in all the wrong places. I think we've said that his most effective area is out on the wing, and at the moment we just see him sort of plodding around in the middle. You know, he's not doing a job though. He's not tracking his runners. He's not working to get back really. He's just sort of sat in the middle, stagnant. So whether he changes that up maybe for Ben Reeves, I'm not too sure. But this is the sort of game we need a Darren Pratley character, a Josh Cullen, and it's showing we're really missing that today. But you know, it's still 45 minutes to go, so it's not all doom and gloom. It is only 1-0.
45 minutes to go. Charlton are 1-0 down here at half time at Blackpool. Second half coming up. Fingers crossed the Reds improve their performance. Charlton level. It looked to be Joe Aribo or maybe an own goal, but brilliant work from Carlin in the build up as well. Back in this game, Lewis.
Yes, mate. And you know, again, a bit of a slow start from the Alex, but Carlin Grant, we said in the first half, probably the only player with a bit of credibility, been best player so far on the pitch, so good for him to get the assist. Joe Aribo on the end of it, maybe, who knows? It was a bit of a scramble, but oh, we're away.
Oh, come on. We'll stay. Lyle Taylor with the ball across. Oh, it's over the bar. And another goal for Joe Aribo, if they're going to credit to him. How important are those goals been to us so far this season, not having to rely on Lyle and Carlin?
Well, it's been great. I mean, especially with Joe Aribo, I know it's something that he really wanted to add to his game. Something that, you know, Lee Bowyer's wanted to bring to Joe Aribo's game. So the fact that we've seen him improve season upon season, more goals has managed to notch for the Addicts is good. So it's good progression for Joe, and another goal for him, hopefully. I think he will get credited with that one, hopefully.
Addicts much improved. It's 1-1 here, half an hour left at Bloomfield Road. So in the 85th minute, Nathan Delfonso puts Blackpool 2-1 up, probably against the balance of play in the second half. I thought we battered them really after going 1-1, but it's our first defeat in the league in a long, long time, Lewis.
Yeah, it's the curse of the manager of the month, isn't it? Had to be, or December, either or. It's two curses in one day, so I don't know. Not good enough first half at all. Not good enough first half. Second half, big improvement, got the goal. After that, again, like you said, a couple of chances. You know, probably should have scored not long afterwards. We had quite a few good opportunities to get the lead, but you know, Blackpool break away. Another poor goal to concede. I thought so exposed on the left hand side. I thought our defence, especially on each width, you know, Solly and Stevenson probably didn't have their best games today. I think that proved costly, and you know, we've lost here today.
Yeah, and where do we go from here on Tuesday? Obviously, got to go down to Fratton Park. I think they've won again today. And that midfield just looks weak. You'd expect Portsmouth to exploit that as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Tuesday worries me, to be fair. It does worry me. We've got to be able to battle more in the middle of the park, but we're missing that big player, that Darren Brattley, that, you know, Josh Cullen, of course the Kasky mould that will sit in front of the back four. You know, Billet had a pretty poor first half. Second half there was a slight improvement, but I think he is better suited to the to just playing in the back four anyway. I see changes at Portsmouth, but we haven't got the squad to not make any changes. I don't think Stevenson will get a game on Tuesday night. I think he sort of had a bit of a schooling today by Blackpool. Portsmouth probably would definitely be too much for him if he was struggling today. So I see changes, but he's limited to where he can make them. So, you know, we've got to go again Tuesday night and try and get a result, but it's going to be very difficult up at Fram Park.
Yeah. So full time here, Blackpool 2, Charlton 1, a disappointing afternoon at Bloomfield Road. We're going to go and warm up because it is absolutely freezing.
There we go, that was Tom and Lewis's diary of their day up at Blackpool, the 2-1 defeat. Right, we draw a line under that, and as the lads were talking about afterwards, now we have to go and face a Portsmouth team who've won their last 8 in all competitions, unbeaten in their last 13 in all competitions. I mean, this is a real test. We went to Fratton Park towards the end of last season as both teams were pushing for the playoffs, and you know, Portsmouth actually looked really nervous in that first half last season. We beat them, they ran out of steam, they finished outside of the playoffs, we got into them, but it looks like Kenny Jackett's just continued his rebuilding job that he's doing down there at Fratton Park, and he's got them as right at the top of the league and looking very good this season.
Yeah, no, they are, and they're consistent, and that's obviously doing wonders. So It's going to be difficult. It was hard going there last year when we won 1-0, but it's going to be a bit of a trickier tie this time around. So, yeah, we'll just have to crack on with it and just hopefully we can nick something. I'd take a draw, personally. But,
oh, yeah, certainly.
But, yeah, we'll see how we get on.
I mean, so we're going to have to go up there. We're going to have to look organised. We're going to have to be difficult to break down. If you remember back to the opening day of the season, the performance away to Sunderland, you know, obviously we got undone, unfortunately, by that goal right at the end. But in that game, we had an early lead and we actually had more chances to go further ahead, but we defended well and made it difficult to be broken down, and that's what we're going to have to be looking at when we get down to the game on Tuesday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think that's going to be key on how he sets up, if he's going to put three at the back maybe. Will he put Billick in there or will he keep it as a four? I think Duke Steele will come back into the side. But we're playing a team that don't concede many goals. So if we do get chances, we need to make sure we take them, because we might only get one. Mm. So that'll be key for Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, what sort of is there any changes specifically? I mean, people saying perhaps Toby Stevenson might not be risked. You know, for a young man to have to play two games in just a few days, it might be a bit tough for him. So you imagine he'd be changed. Hopefully, if Dick Steele will be ready, or maybe even Naby Sarr to go at left back.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I think you'd probably put Solly out there maybe, and then Dick Steele at right back, or Sarr could come in if he wants to put a three there. So yeah, you can't really change too much in terms of middle of the park. I'd imagine obviously Joe will play. I think Reeves might get a game. And then that's what I mean. Are you going to put Lapsley in there again? So you can't really change up at the moment. So I think we've pretty got our hands tied, really, who we can play.
Yeah, and obviously there won't be any change up top. So, I mean, how do you see it going on Tuesday? Are you going down there, Nath?
No, I'm not going down there on Tuesday. No, not Tuesday. No, yeah. Next Saturday, obviously. But no, I'm not about on Tuesday.
Yeah. But how do you think we'll get on?
I'm going to say 0-0. I said that for Saturday, but I reckon it's going to be a draw.
Yeah, you can see us nicking something. Well, hopefully,
hopefully
that will be the case. Right, of course, as I have said, it's the player of final dinner here at the Valley this evening, so we're going to be shooting off in a couple of minutes. Congratulations, though, to the women's team.
Yeah.
They are joint top of the championship. They've got 25 points after they won again this afternoon, 2-0 down against Lewis at the Dripping Pan. Goals from Lizzie Juppie and Lily Ag. As they continue their superb start to life in the FA Women's Championship. So well done to them. Let's hope that they can continue their good form after the winter break. Now, no more league games until the next year. But anyway, let's hope they can. Let's hope that Charlton can get back to winning ways, or at least go and get something when we travel down to Fratton Park on Tuesday. Right, thanks to all of you who've listened live this evening, and to those of you, of course, who've downloaded the podcast via Acast or iTunes. Those of you who emailed in and tweeted as well, thanks very much. Nathan, thanks for coming in.
No worries, mate.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been a short and Charlton live because we're off to the playoff final dinner. We hope you've enjoyed what you've heard so far. And we'll be back here at some point next week for the big match preview. Details to follow during the week because it might not be on Thursday again because of availability of people. But we let you know. This has been Charlton live. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.